in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes. Our Father, again, we thank you for visiting our assembly and our worship with your tangible presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you that truly you inhabit the praises of your people. And this we have observed and we have experienced. We're grateful. We honor you, we worship you, we sanctify you in our hearts and in our midst. Father, as we go into the word now, we do not enter in presumptuously. Again, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And I ask for a fresh unction, an anointing from heaven. This same presence in the worship, your tangible presence, let it follow us into the word and enable me to speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. Put the same unction, Father, that's upon me, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, as well as those that will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and insufficient measure to back and follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth, in whichever media they are released. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in this prayer in their own individual lives, all agreed with me individually and said, this afternoon I have a present truth instructional message for us. Now, I believe this message is also for the entire church. I'm trusting that God, in his infinite wisdom, will know how to distribute it so that the people that need to hear it will hear it. And not only will they hear it, more importantly, they will do it or practice the things therein in order to bring this glory that we are also eagerly expecting. And I've entitled it United Prayer in the Spirit. Ordinarily, prayer in the Spirit is united because the utterance is not given by man, is given by God. See, if I'm praying in tongues and my wife is praying in tongues, there is no way our prayers can be out of harmony, because it's not me praying, it's not her praying, it's actually Jesus by the Holy Spirit praying through her and through me in a heavenly language that neither of us understand. And God did it deliberately to bypass the limitations of the human mind, as well as the infirmities of the human mind that ordinarily would cause division, that ordinarily will cause disharmony. It is for this reason praying in the Spirit is an essential spiritual weapon. My wife and I were making a comment about some man of God recently. I don't want to mention the name, you know, that had an issue. More than one of them, actually. And we came to this conclusion that they just were not praying in the Spirit sufficiently. Not that they don't believe in tongues. They do. And they do pray in tongues. But this word, sufficient, everybody says sufficient, is a critical word in this day. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. Everybody says sufficient. See, you can pray, but are you praying sufficiently? Sufficiently. And there's only one benchmark to use, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you try and use any other parameter of measurement, you will fail. You know, Jesus said this one time in Gethsemane. He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? That's where all the things, by the grace and the mercy of God, that I have learned and I have practiced in these last 40 years have come from the Scriptures. Like I said during the Bible study, you know, Jesus is the pattern son. Paul was a pattern disciple. I'm going to expand that. Not Paul alone. Paul, John, Peter, James, particularly all the guys who wrote what I call the perfection epistles. Paul wrote the Pauline revelation, and then James, Peter, John, and Jude wrote what we call the perfection epistles. And if you check those epistles, they actually talk about perfection and the instructions. Two of them were Jesus' half-brothers. Let's give the Lord Jesus a clap offering. Jesus did very well. He did very well. Because I know the problems I have with my own natural brothers. You know, now not all of them came, but at least he got two of them. Jude and James. And both of them talked about praying in the Spirit. In the book of James, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He saw his brother do it. Jude said, you know, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Paul said, you know, take the whole armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Everybody say always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Folks, I said this years ago when I was criticized, heavily criticized in the church for teaching that you should pray in the Spirit. You should make it an aim to pray in the Spirit for at least 1 hour every day. People said, no, you're putting people into bondage. You don't have to do that. I said, I said it's a pattern I've seen in the Word of God. Jesus said, could you not watch me 1 hour? If we're going to get the Bible results that we need, we have to do it according to the instruction manual. The instruction manual was not given by me. It was given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself through his apostles, you know, his pattern apostles, and then down through the generations to us. In every generation, God raises apostles. An apostle is just a messenger. You know, we get so title bound, so I don't want to get off into all of that. You know, he raises up patterns, apostles who you can follow. In the time of John Wesley, it was John Wesley and his brother, Charles. And they started what is known as the Methodist Club, because they did things methodically or systematically, the way Jesus did them. This, what we're doing today in Good Morning Jesus, getting up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning to pray, is nothing new. All the great saints who have made any impact on the earth for God, have learned the same principle. John Wesley
had a habit, 10 o'clock, it doesn't matter where he is, who he's talking to, he will say, "Gentlemen, you will have to excuse me. I have an important meeting in the morning." Whether he told them it was prayer or not, in some places he would, when they were not Christians, may not, just tell them I have. And he would go, 4 o'clock in the morning, John Wesley's up praying. Then he would go on horseback going to preach to all the different places. The same thing with our brother and father and mentor who has just gone home to be the Lord, David and Paul Yonge-Cho. I learned about praying in the spirit from Kenneth Hagin, but I heard about the importance of early morning prayer from Yonge-Cho. It was Yonge-Cho who said that you want to spend time with God and pray, you have to get up early in the morning, 4:30. So I started pushing myself into that. It wasn't easy for me. My flesh didn't want to do it, you know. But I followed. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." The Bible says Jesus would get up early, a great while before the dawn. Why? Because that's going to give you the time to pray sufficiently. Sufficient is the key word there. The word his brother James used is effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I said this over the years. It means that there are three levels of prayer, three general levels of prayer. Prayers that avail zero, prayers of unbelief, prayers not in line with the word of God, you know, prayers in fear and with human tradition, they avail nothing, zero. Then there are prayers that avail little. And I think I'll put a lot of our Pentecostal prayers in that category. You know, as if people are not praying, they are praying. But what is it availing? It's not availing much. It's availing little. And that's why we don't see the kind of results that the Bible tells us we should see. In particular, this spirit without measure that we are all waiting for. What is going to birth it, what is going to bring it, is this united praying in the spirit. It's not going to come by wishful thinking. I like what this same Paul said in the book of Hebrews, talking about the coming of the Lord. He said, you have need of patience, because after you've done the will of God, that you might receive, you know, the promise. And in particular, in the context in which he was talking about the promise of his coming, not just any promise. It applies, it's a universal application to if you're believing for his healing or prosperity or whatever, you know. But in particular, he was talking about the coming, the promise of Jesus coming in us in the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, and what is also known as the former and the latter rain. It so happens we're going in a 3-day fast tomorrow. I didn't really plan this. I planned it in line conjunction with the Nigerian independence. But it so happens without me trying to fix anything, that it is in the last days of the Feast of Tabernacles. I think today is the 6th day. The Feast of Tabernacles is an 8-day feast. Our feast fast is going to end on that 8th day, the Wednesday. I don't know what spiritual significance that's going to be. We're going to wait to see what's going to happen. Hence this message, not just for scripture pasture, but for anybody else who is seeking. He said, "The Lord whom you seek, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." Suddenly, it is the seeking in prayer and fasting that is going to bring, is going to download, if we can use a computer expression today, the spirit without measure. And that's why what I'm about, these instructions I'm about to share with you, are going to be very, very, very important. It's not just enough to pray. How are we praying? Is it sufficient? And the only way we can know is by what we see in the instruction manual. Just speaking to his Peter, and he said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" They were sleeping because of the weakness of the flesh. Not because they didn't have the heart. They loved God. They loved Jesus. But they were just weak, like a lot of us today. And that's why we have to learn some of these things. You know? And Jesus came back and they were still sleeping. 3 times. 3 hours. Jesus was praying from about 8, 9 o'clock till about 11, 12. It was almost midnight by the time the guys came from the high priest and arrested him, you know, and then, you know, took him for that sham trial. Which kind of court, kangaroo court, calls at 2 a.m. in the morning? That's when they had that court proceedings in the house of the high priest. Tell us, are you the Son of God? Jesus said, if I tell you, you will not believe. And then they talked, he didn't answer them. They talked, he didn't answer them. Then the high priest, you know, Jesus knew the Bible. He knew the word. So the high priest said, I adjure thee. In other words, I am commanding you as high priest. Tell us, art thou the Son of the Blessed? He said, as you say I am. The man tore his clothes and says, what further need have we of witnesses? We have heard it from his own lips, blasphemy. And he wasn't blaspheming, he was just telling them the truth. And so the Lord wants us to learn how to pray sufficiently, effectually, fervently, so that our prayers can avail much, and so that this glory that we are all eagerly waiting for, not only us, all creation is waiting eagerly for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'll tell you something. This is for motivation now. I'm actually going to preach another message, another prophetic message on this. I downloaded it a few days ago, you know, and I've just kept it because the Lord said it's not time for that yet, but you know. But and it's going to be talking about the nations. The nations are in distress. Why? Because of the spiritual warfare that has intensified in the heavens since the last blood moon, 2014, 2015, 7 years ago. There was an uptake in the warfare. There's always been warfare in heaven. But it increased in intensity because the time of the end was coming, you know, and God increased the intensity of the spiritual warfare through our intercession. And the Bible tells us there's a prophetic picture of it in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. It says, and the angels, you know, and Satan and his angels fought, and Gabriel, Michael and his angels fought. And there was this, you know, conflict in the heavens. But Michael and his angels prevailed, and when they prevailed, they swept the heavens. This was going to happen ultimately at the rapture. We're not at the rapture yet, but even now, it's already happening to some degree. That the evil spirits in the heavenlies, the angels in the heavens, you know, they were, their place in heaven was no longer, so they were dropped into the earth. Now, that thing has actually been happening since 2014, 2015, since the blood moons. And when they came into the earth, the Bible says in book of Revelation chapter 12, that when they came to the earth, they came with great wrath. They came with great anger. That is why we have seen 4 major events on the earth that have shaken, firstly, Nigeria, secondly, America, and then finally, the whole world. And they happen sequentially. See, when I look back now, I now understand what is going on better. Nigeria, it was the Chibok girls. The world had never seen anything like that before. And it brought great distress to this nation. So much so that the Jonathan government was voted out of power. But that's one of the things that they use. They say, oh, you know, they weren't providing security. And they were, of course, they'll talk about corruption and all of that. But the ones that are there now are having a bigger problem. It's gone down to some degree in some places, in other places, you know. But that was one. The second thing was 2015, the year after the Supreme Court judgment in America. The whole world was shaken. America, the bastion of democracy, passing such an immoral law that is clear from the scriptures. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 59, it says truth is, quickly go there, because it's important to see that scripture. I feel led of the Lord
to share that with us as I go into this thing about prayer. 59, and this is where, you know, the Spirit, you know, put on the whole armor of God and all that. This is where Paul, this was the Old Testament basis from which Paul wrote Ephesians 6. Every revelation of the New Testament has an Old Testament foundation. And he says, I'm not going to read verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And when he saw that there was no man, he wondered there was no intercessor. Then his arm brought him salvation. That's, you know, praying in the Spirit. You know, that's the arm of the Lord. But the point here is that truth faileth. Something as obvious as that. And now, if you now say you don't want to do it, or you don't want to accept that law, you will. They will. In America, you know, there was a couple. They were baking cakes. And these people came and said they don't want them to bake. They said, look, my conscience won't allow me to bake cake for a gay marriage. And they took them to court. I think later on they won, you know. He makes himself a prey. It's happened. Then the third one was the insurrection that took place on January 6th after the Biden election. The very halls of Capitol Hill was assaulted by a bunch of people that wanted to destroy the American democracy. They were even threatening to hang Vice President Pence. They wanted to kill Nancy Pelosi. That day, it was God who saved the day. If they had gotten in and they were not diverted, they did get in, but if they were not diverted and the law keepers were not kept in some place, they would have killed some of those people. America as we know it today would have probably been in civil war. That's how close it came. It shook on it. That was January 6, 2020. Watch this. As all that was going on, something began to bubble from China. It was called COVID-19. We have never seen anything like it. Within January, February, March, it became a universal pandemic. It shut the whole world down. It shut the whole world down. Four major, there were other events, but these four major ones, what happened in Nigeria, what happened in America with the Supreme Court, what happened in the insurrection, and then the COVID. They now spread to all the nations of the world. Literally what the Bible said. Everybody follow me to Haggai. We're talking about united prayer in the Spirit. Haggai. And look at chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens. That's what happened is when that warfare is taking place. The heavens are being shaken. The earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. It has happened. It's not going to happen. It has happened. It is happening. As I speak now, the economies of all the nations of the world is in distress. Whether it's the U.S., even China, who is supposed to be a creditor to many nations, they are going through a difficult time. All the nations of the world, because of what happened with this COVID, you know, a lot of the economies are in a difficult situation because they have to keep pumping money into the system when people could not go to work. They have to pay people's salaries. They have to pay rents for people. Where are they going to get all that money from to be able to balance the books, so to speak? They're in distress. In Luke, he said, I will shake all nations, and then the dower of all nations shall come. This is where the prayer comes in. The manifestation of sons of God. Because it is the desire of all nations, Christ in us, the hope of glory. The manifested glory of God, according to Isaiah 60 and 61, that God is now going to use to bring relief to the nations. I'm going to be preaching a complete prophetic message on that. But this is just a kind of intro so you can understand the vital importance of prayer for our world today. Look how close we came at that insurrection. What would have happened that if they had killed Mike Pence, killed Nancy Pelosi,
killed a large number of senators and a piece of house where the whole American democracy would have come down. You can't even begin to imagine. We all know that it was God that saved the situation through the intercession of his church. But we cannot rest on our oars. We have to step it up. In Luke chapter 21, it says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. This is this blood moon, which has already taken place. And in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. In Haggai, it calls it shaking. Same thing. Different words, but the spirit is the same. Distress of nations. He said, but then the desire of all nations shall come. Here it says in verse 27, it says, and then the Son of Man, they'll see it coming in cloud. That's why and with great glory. The Son of Man has to come in us to relieve the nations of this distress. The glory that will come, the wisdom that will come, the prosperity that will come. It says, the wealth of the nations shall be brought unto you from the sea, will bring relief to the nations. And that's why we must, in this critical moment, the sons of Issachar, typifying the prophetic, had understanding of times. What I've just given you now is an understanding of the times. And then I'm not telling you what Israel ought to do. United, synergized prayer in the spirit. I was saying that ordinarily prayer in the spirit is united in the sense that it's never cross-purpose. I can be praying in tongues and you praying in tongues, and our prayers in the spirit will always be in harmony. But there's something that can spoil it. If we're not walking in love. The Bible says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, if I become a tinkling cymbal. In other words, the physical noise will be there, but there will be no power. It will just be like making noise. And that's one of the things I believe that God wants us to address as I share these truths. United prayer in the spirit by synergy of the prayers of just men made perfect. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's look at verse 23. Here, Paul is giving a spiritual description of the church of Jesus Christ. And he was contrasting it with the physical presence of God that came on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, when God gave them what we call the Ten Commandments. He said, you are not come to Mount Sinai. He said, you know, where there was, you know, fire and even Moses was trembling. He said, but you are come unto Mount Zion, verse 22. Unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all. And the expression I want to focus on now, and the spirits of just men. The word just means born again men who have been made perfect. Perfect there means who have come into maturity and some degree of perfection, depending on, you know, the time in which this is being written and it's being applied. Today it's going to apply to us in perfection. In the time of Paul, it referred to them in maturity with the revelation of perfection I'm moving towards. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. So I'm going to use Paul as a template. The Bible says, Paul says, he himself, writing about himself, he said that, you know, I did all these things ignorantly, that God saved me and made me a pattern. That's why we call Paul the pattern's disciple with all the other apostles, They are patterns for us. Jesus is the pattern son. And like I illustrated during the Bible study using Pastor Buiga and Dr. Williams and Professor Lockbody, you cannot. When God showed me the thing, it was so clear to me. One of the reasons why this generation is lost, not all of us are lost, forgive me, you know, but why a lot of people, I'm talking about Christians now, I'm not talking about unbelievers, have lost in the wilderness. Because when we get born again, it's a type of us being taken out of Egypt. Now we're in the wilderness, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a type of the fire at night and the cloud during the day. We have some degree of prosperity. Our shoes, do not wear out. Our clothes don't wear out. You know, there's no feeble person among our tribes. Our legs not swell. So we have some degree of healing, some degree of prosperity. And you know the funny thing, darling? People think that that's the gospel. No, you're on a transition. And sadly, I said this during the Bible study, many Christians live and die in the wilderness and think that they have done the will of God. Because they had fire, they had the cloud, they had their shoes, they had their clothes did not wear out. You know, yeah, you did get some blessing, but blessing is not destiny. I just got a fax, a tweet from heaven. Do you know, Pastor G, Mommy, do you know that Korah, Abiram, all went through the wilderness? They all enjoyed all of those things for years. Rebels. But the ground opened and swallowed them up. The fact that God blesses you does not mean God is pleased with you. I didn't hear amen. this is Pastor Olubi. The people don't like this Pastor Olubi. The man has come again. How can you say God bless me and God is not pleased with me? Didn't God bless Korah? Didn't God bless Abraham? Watch this. Korah, Abiram, you know, Dathan. They all went through the Red Sea. Didn't God bless them? The sea didn't come back on them. They got to the other side. When they got to the other side and they complained about the water that was bitter, God told Moses, put this tree inside the water. The water became sweet. They all drank of it. Do you understand? When they complained that they didn't have food, God rained manna from heaven to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. All this time, they had rebellion in their hearts. And God knew it. What I'm saying is that what is happening today is the same thing. There are a lot of our people who are born again, spirit-filled. They enjoy some degree. And I qualify that because we haven't really seen the divine prosperity of Zion. We haven't seen that yet. Some degree of prosperity, some provision, some degree of blessing, some degree of... yet they are in rebellion. Just like Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. And they think because God's presence is there and God's blessings are there that we're fine. No, these same people are going around the wilderness just like the children of Israel. Compass going around the same thing. Go to their meetings, you see it. They're going around the same thing over and over and over again. And sadly and regrettably, I said with no joy in my heart, many of them will perish in the wilderness. Never enter into the promised land of perfection and fullness. And one of the reasons why they are roaming in the wilderness is because they have lost contact with the fathers. Spiritually speaking now. See, imagine what your life would be today. Let me use myself. Let me use Olubi. What would my life be today if I got born again, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I spoke in tongues, but I never got a hold of Kenneth Hagin's teachings. I never got a hold of E.W. Kenyon's teachings. I never got a hold of Yonge Cho's teachings, or Kenneth Copeland, or Bill Britton, and George Warnock, and Papa Ralph, and Kelly Verner. Where will I be today? I will be roaming in the wilderness. I will pray in tongues. I will pray. But there are certain things I just can't know, because God has deposited them into those men. That's the way the system works. That's how it works, folks. Sadly and regrettably, many are like that, because those things were brought to them and they rejected them. You cannot be a disciple unless you have a pattern on the earth that you can see, that you can follow. It's impossible. If Paul, Peter, James, John did not write the epistles for us, imagine what your life would be. Watch this. You have to do what Albert Einstein used to call a thought experiment. This is a thought experiment. You know who I learned this from? E.W. Kenyon. He wrote in his book. He said, imagine if all you had was the four Gospels. So you know Jesus came and you can get born again, but you don't have Romans to Hebrews. Listen to this. You don't have James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, and you don't have the book of Revelation. You will be lost. Not that you won't go to heaven, but there are certain things you won't even understand what Jesus is talking about. That's what happens when you don't follow. He said, I have set some in the church. And it was Rick Godwin who said, if God set them, you can't upset them. You may not like them, but God has set them. And if you don't learn from them, there's anything you will never learn. How did I know, Olubi Johnson now, about Pauline prayer? I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. How did Kenneth Hagin know? The Holy Spirit led him and taught him, and then it was confirmed through E.W. Kenyon's writings. One day, Kenneth Hagin was preaching somewhere, 1948 or 49, because he started praying those prayers around the same time, 1949, and somebody came to him and said, have you ever heard of Dr. Kenyon? He said, no, I've never heard of him. He said, well, he preaches faith and healing just like you. Then Kenneth Hagin said, well, he must be congratulated, because he must be preaching the truth, because I know how I am. I said, laughing. They said, you need to get his books. When Kenneth Hagin got his books, he couldn't believe his eyes. What? So not only did it confirm, it amplified and then gave Kenneth Hagin more insight. Where would he be? That's why people are roaming in the wilderness, and that's why they are perishing in the wilderness, thinking that because they have manna from heaven, they have the cloud in the day, they have the fire at night, which is symbolic of manifestations of the Holy Spirit, divine provision and some degree of divine healing, that God is blessing them, so God is with them. Yeah, God is with them, but they're not going to fulfill destiny. They're going to perish in the wilderness. Like Paul said, they're going to suffer loss. So, the spirits of just men made perfect. It was Paul who wrote this for us. Let's give the Apostle Paul a clap offering. I've spoken so much about Paul today. Do you know where would we be if Paul was not faithful to write all these things down for us? So these are men whose spirits have expanded through years of obedience and prayer and intercession. So it's called the spirits of just men perfect. They now become, I'm talking about united prayer in the spirit now, and the synergy. They now become the workhorse, the generating plant, by which prayer in the spirit is synergized. And I'm going to prove it to you from scripture. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm just going to take verse 4. This is when Paul was talking about discipline. But there is a great principle here that he says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It just means, of course, all of us are Christians, so in the name of Jesus, that's that. You know, that's a legal technicality. But it goes beyond that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means in the character. You see, a lot of Christians say in Jesus' name, but the character is not there. So the in Jesus' name is not working. It's not, you can't just repeat it like a parrot. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are gathered together, everybody say, when you are gathered together. And my spirit. Notice it's just one spirit. One person. Because of the capacity and the expansion of his spirit over years. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice not Paul's power, but it is Paul's spirit. Paul's spirit is the generator. Now, this is what happens, united prayer in the spirit. I mentioned all these things some years ago and I taught it, but God said you need to come and emphasize it, particularly as we're going to this fast. So that there will be a synergy in our prayers. The word synergy is when you join one or more of two, three things together, and then you get, what you get out of it is a multiplication of those factors. So, for example, if you put 2, 3, and 4 together, you get, that is 5 and 4. You should get 9 if you added them, you know, arithmetically. But if there is a synergy, then the 2, the 4, and the 5 can be multiplex together. That's a term from communication engineering. They can be mixed together, synergized together, so that what is coming out will not be 9, it could be 9,000. Depending on the synergy amplification factors. That's what happens in the spirit. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Keep your mind in what we just read. Everybody say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three things I want you to get here. Say, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then say, gathered. Everybody say, gathered. Say, gathered. Say it one more time. Then the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three factors. The name of Jesus. Gather. And power. Now let me show you how it's combined. Look at Matthew chapter 18. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Matthew 18 and verses 19 and 20. We like quoting all of these scriptures, but you see, that's why you need fathers, pastors, prophets, apostles that have revelation. So you can read the Bible and just read on the surface. And not know the depth of what it's talking about. And here, Jesus said, again, I Jesus, say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are what? Scream that word. Gathered. together, where? In my name. What did Paul say in Corinthians? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what happens? The Lord was showing me how to explain this to you. Where I'm using Paul as a type, but now I'll use myself just for illustration purposes. But I'm not the only one who will have this. There are other men of God who could have developed the capacity of the Spirit. I don't know, because I'm not God and I don't know them, but I know me. So I can talk for me. I can't talk for other people. But let me use Paul. Paul is praying in tongues, in the Spirit. But Epaphras too is praying. How many people know Epaphras? And Timothy is praying. And some of his disciples. So you know what the Holy Spirit does? He goes to Epaphras and takes some of the power. Because it's the Holy Ghost who's giving the utterance. He takes a portion of Epaphras' prayers. He takes a portion of Timothy's prayers. He takes a portion of Titus's prayers. And he begins to gather. Everybody say, gather. So he gathers this. You see, Titus is praying in tongues. Timothy is praying in tongues. Epaphras is praying in tongues. But they are all praying with the right attitude in the character. You now understand why I've taught us, I yet not I, but the Spirit of God is with me. What I've taught us in this last, I actually brought this into the first burner, to the front burner in 2003. When I began to teach us on keeping ourselves in the love of God. Because you see, what happens is that if I want to pray in the Spirit, I have to be aligned in God's character. So that is why Good Morning Jesus is such an important platform. Not because my wife started it. Because it's in line with the principle of the Bible. Before they jump into praying in the Spirit, they lay the foundation. One, of the fear of God. Two, of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what puts you in the name. Not just saying in Jesus' name. Of course, we have to say in Jesus' name too. Because that gives us the legal basis of our prayers. But it's in the name. So, Timothy, Epaphras, Titus, God gathers their prayers together and then combines it with the power that is coming out of Paul's spirit and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ is what now does the amplification and does the synergy according to the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32. But you see, that scripture is not the only scripture. That's one everybody quotes. Chapter 32, verse 30. How shall one chase a thousand? But you see, you have to look at there are two other scriptures that are allied. And over the years, God showed me this. You know, I'm a mathematician. So I'm a physicist, but you know, did a lot of maths. So I began to think. I said, okay, if this is so, then 10 times, 10 times, 10. But I'm not seeing that effect. Then I realized that there must be something that is a little bit, you know, amiss here. And the Lord, let's look at Joshua chapter 23, verse 10. He says, one man of you shall chase a thousand, which is in line with what Deuteronomy chapter 30 says. But watch this. Look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. Five of you shall chase 100. So it's not everybody that has the capacity to chase 1,000. Five people can chase only 100. Then he says here, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Yet, in Deuteronomy 30, he says, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. So there are some people, their capacity is such that two of them alone can deal with 10,000. But there are some other people whose capacity is such that it will take 100 of them to put 10,000 to flight. Chill. No problem. You know what God does? He goes around the church. God, the Holy Spirit. He goes around the church. Then he picks from Epaphras. He picks from Timothy. He picks from Titus and so on and so forth like that. And then he begins to combine them in the different capacities of their spirits. The ones that I just can do 5 to chase 100, he puts those ones together. The one that is going to take, 100 of them to chase 1,000, he puts them together. The ones that one can do 1,000, he puts them together. And two can do 10,000, he puts them together. When you put all of them together, when you put, and the only person who knows that thing is the Holy Ghost. Observe that when Paul was talking, he wasn't even with them physically. He said, when you are gathered together, he wasn't there physically. This is an operation in the Spirit. And the church needs to understand this. I'm talking about united prayer in the Spirit. When these prayers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they are gathered together with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in these exponential relationships, and these are not things I picked out of a hat, they're right there in the Word of God. Why did God record all of these things? So that we will know what's going on, and then we can cooperate intelligently. Watch this, honey. Not only with the Holy Ghost, but with one another. I like what my wife, I was teaching on Wednesday, and she brought out the scripture from the New King James. She said, every part does its share. Everybody say it out loud. Look to your neighbor. Say, I'm going to do my share by the grace and the mercy of God, and you will do your share. You see, that's the problem. Some people want Mommy Sarah to do their share. You won't kill my wife in Jesus' name. I'm being honest. You're carrying load that we should not be carrying. Because some other person is not doing their share. If you're doing your share, if I'm doing my share, if you're doing your share, Brother Ndubisi is doing his share, Brother Ileka is doing his share, Brother Adeshola is doing his share, all of us, Lord is doing our share. All of us are doing our share. Your share will not be as much as my own, because maybe you're not as developed as I am, but that doesn't matter. If it is 5 of you that can put 100 to flight, do it. If it is 100 of you that can do 10,000, do it, but do your share. Do your share. When you do your share, you know what the Holy Ghost does? He now gathers all those different shares together. And then he channels it through the Spirit of a just man made perfect. And that, in this context now, is Paul. Say, and my spirit, singular. But then he gathers the people, them, plural. Now, follow me to the book of Revelation. We've got 2 scriptures as I begin to close. This is not a scripture. This is not the message I'm going to rush. Because we're going to a fast. And I'm believing God that as we go in this fast and pray, we will download this glory. And that's why we need to have this understanding. We're just going to look 2 scriptures as I begin to close. You know, Revelation chapter, let's look at chapter 5, verse 8. You know, some scriptures in the Bible, just read them and you wonder, what is this thing really saying? And when he had taken the book, I didn't hear you. The 4 beasts and the 20 elders fell down before the Lamb. Every one of them. Every one of who? Turn to your neighbor, say, every one of who? The elders. Thank you. Or, I'll say it another way. The spirits of just men made perfect. Those are the elders. The Pauls. Say, my spirit. Look at what it says. Each of them had harps. These elders are experts in worship. They worship God. Harp is just a musical instrument. It's for worship. And also experts in prayer. And golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. If you look at some of the modern translations, it says, having golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, the New King James Version. The New International Version says, holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. That's how, you know what? Watch this, Cowdy. Those prayers that the Holy Ghost gathers, he goes to put them inside a bowl that the elder is handling. So the elder spirit and the synergized prayers of the saints are now combined together using that bowl. And then the elder now begins to pray in tongues. You know what he's going to do now? He's going to transfer some of that incense to the angels of God at the throne. Revelation chapter 8 verse 5. Look at verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar. The altar represents a place of prayer. Observe, all this is in the spirit. It's not flesh. It's in the spirit. No wonder. You know, so scriptures start begin to make sense. Though, Pastor Bega, mommy, though I speak in tongues of men and of angels. So when the elder, the spirit of judgment, when he begins to speak in tongues, he begins to speak in an angelic language, and he now begins to take the amplified synergized prayer. And then he begins to pass it to angels at the altar of God. Watch what these angels at the altar of God are doing. He said, and there was given unto him much incense. Where did he get it from? The elders. Who gave the angel much incense? We've already been told in chapter 5. They put the prayers of the saints inside the bowl with the spirit of the elder. Then they amplify it and then send it to the angels. And what do the angels do? They offer it up with the prayers of all saints. Observe, in chapter 5 is the prayers of saints. Here is the prayer of all saints. You know what God is doing? Prayers that God has answered by his sovereignty down through the ages. But their record is in heaven because the price for the power of praying have not yet been paid. So they keep it at the altar. So when the angel now offers it up with these prayers on the throne, with the amplified power that has come from the elders and from the same praying saints on the earth, when you combine it together, they now put it back into the earth. Look at verse 5. And the angel took the censer, and the smoke of the incense, you know, with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it where? Into the earth. You know why? The heavens are the heavens, but the earth has he given to the sons of men. It now makes sense. Dr. Williams, I used to wonder about this scripture. It's in Ephesians 6. We read it every day. Praying always with all prayer and supplication for what? All saints. That's it right there. See, when we're praying in the spirit, we don't know what's going on. The Holy Ghost is gathering our prayers. Each part, playing his part. Gather. Then he looks for a spirit of a just man that is made perfect, that is has some degree of maturity and perfection. Then he puts it into his bowl, takes his spirit, combines it together, takes it to the angels at the altar. Look for the prayer debts that have not yet been paid, and put them in the earth and pay it. That's why we're going to pay off everything before the rapture. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Do you see? I'm closing now. The vital, strategic importance of praying in the spirit. All this can be done in the flesh. Do you know any angelic language? You can't do it in the flesh. You can't gather in the flesh. He said, when you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what's going on behind the scenes. And when you and I begin to play, everybody begins to play their part properly. Each part Each member playing its part, playing its own share. What's going to happen is that with the synergy that the Holy Spirit creates, power will be generated. Prayer debts will be paid off. Power will be generated. Put it into the earth. It will bring the latter and the former rain into the earth. Stand to your feet. This is what's going on. As we go into this fast, I want you to say, God, help me to play my part. Don't just go there and sleep. You know, if you're tired, yeah, but you know, at least play your part. While you're awake, make sure you're praying effectually and you're praying fervently. So the Holy Ghost has something to gather from you. Then he gathers from Pastor Andrew, and he gathers from Pastor Dewey, and he gathers from Professor Olokbadi, he gathers from Brother Clement, he gathers from all of us. Everybody's playing their part. Then there's a synergy in the Spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most important, all everything is important, I've said, but this is it, in the name. That's why you can't come and be in strife, law, you know, rebellion, and all. That's not in the name of Jesus. And you know what? There's one guy who knows who is in the name and who is not in the name. His name is the devil. So if a guy is trying to just the objection, sir, now he's not paying the name. So his prayer cannot be gathered. He's very quiet. I thought everybody would say amen. Ah! Biko, you can't say amen. That's why you want to walk in love. Love, I have love, more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness. Watch, you see, all those prayers, I want you again to go and review those books, Keeping Yourself in Love of God. Don't read it like, you know, just like a storybook. Take your Bible out. Everywhere I put a scripture, open your Bible and find out, why did Pastor Olubi put this? I choose to fear God. So I humble myself and I submit myself to the will of God, even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer. It's not there for decoration. I have more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. As I pray now, it's there. And then in every circumstance, situation, the next 24 hours. Why? It's because the Holy Spirit wants to align us into the name so that our prayers will avail much. So the prayer will be effective. It will be sufficient. It will bring the power down. You know, I used to wonder, look out. There are millions, darling, I'm going to close. There are millions of born-again Christians on the earth. Millions. I know if we're up to a billion, but at least I knew we are millions. Nigeria alone probably boasts of, you know, 20, 30 million. I'm talking about born again, spirit filled, who pray in tongues. America too has. England has. If you put all of us together, Brazil and some of the other countries, they all have. You know, maybe we'll be 500 million, maybe 700 million, something like that. I'm not sure if we're up to a billion. I'm talking about not born again. Born again is over 1 billion, you know, maybe 2. But I'm talking about born again, spirit filled, that pray in tongues regularly. How come we have not been able to bring the glory down? No synergy. No name. No gathering. Very few, if any, spirits of just men made perfect. That's the problem. I've discovered something about God, folks. He's a good God. And he has not asked us to do what we cannot do. And when something is not working, you want to find out why it's not working and correct it. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Move among us.
Move among us.
amongst us with holy fire.
As we lay aside.
We lay aside all earthly desires.
Hands reach out.
And
our hearts
aspire.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you.
Let the wind of your presence blow.
Let the wind of your presence blow. That your children here might truly know.
How to move
in the Spirit's flow.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you.
Please, Lord, I beg you.
Accomplish in us today
some new work.
New work of love and grace, we pray.
Unreservedly.
Your way,
Holy Spirit,
I welcome you. Make it personal.
Lord, I welcome you.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. Please accomplish in me. Make it personal.
Please,
in the light of this teaching.
In me. Today,
some new work
of love and grace, I pray,
unreservedly,
badly have your way,
Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
I welcome you.
I welcome you.
Say, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, I thank you for opening our eyes to what is going on in the realm of the Spirit as we pray in the Spirit. Oh God, help me as an individual to do my own fair share of praying in the Spirit with love, in the name, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, so my prayers can be gathered together with the prayers of my other brethren and synergized through the spirits of just men made perfect to bring down the former and the latter rain together, the power of the Spirit without measure in this hour, in this time of your glory, to bring relief to the nations of the earth, to counteract the influence of these wicked spirits that have been displaced in the heavenly places, that are causing distress to us, the nations of the earth, at this time, in Jesus' name. Neka shoko frede klama tolo moshe. Neka tolo moshala prikito fresk. Lo prikito fridinger toske fredesk. Mercy, Father, sala prikito lo matolo moshele prido fredesk. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rakatolo motolo butufrede fredesk. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you. Jelepriki tufrenengarask. Thank you for your blood. Shalike tufrediki tufrenengarask. Thank you for your life. Rambrodolo mashelepriki tufrenengarask. Thank you for your power. Neaka rikatolo mashai. Yiko tufrede. Lombredek lamatolo matufrede. In our souls, lepriki tufrenengarask. In our bodies, zelpriki tufrediki tushkufrenesk. In our circumstances, ranando lo moshele briketo frenengaras. In our regional heavenlies, liprotolo shefre tofrening gutusk. In Jesus' name. Somebody, one of the brethren, asked me this question, and I want to answer it now. As I was praying, now the Holy Ghost just reminded me. He said, "Pastor, you always say regional heavenlies. Regional heavenlies. What do you mean by regional heavenlies?" You see, the heavenlies, there's the this atmosphere above us, which is the physical heavens. Then there is a second heaven. That's where the principalities and powers are. That we are displacing them now. And we are now putting the power of God in those second heavens. And then there's the third heavens where God reigns. When you say regional heavenlies, there is a heavenly over Nigeria. That's regional to Nigeria. Olubi Johnson. There is a heavenly regional to Olubi Johnson which deals with my sphere of influence. That will cover my wife, my children, my grandchildren, you know, and the people that connect with me. It will cover scripture pasture because you're connected to me in the spirit. Everybody has a regional heaven because of the region in which you're operating and also the nation in which you are living and operating in. So for you to have victory, you have to displace and overcome the wicked spirits in those regional heavenlies. That was why Daniel had to pray to overcome the prince of Persia. It was regional. Are you listening to me? And then, you know what Gabriel told him? Gabriel said, "I was trying to come." He said, "The prince of Persia which stood before me. So I went to get Michael. We got a breakthrough here." He said, "And when I finish with you, I'm going to the prince of Greece. That was the next empire that came up. What's it? It's regional. You know, I told you we've entered advanced level. It's no, stop playing games. Oh. The number of people I've had to go and greet recently, one death or the other. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, the battle is hotting up. Walk in love. In your heart. Very easy. If somebody does something to you, forgive them instantly. Remit their sin by the blood of Jesus. Ask life for them. Pray for them in tongues. So you know, you don't think. You're walking in love, and because of that, whatever you pray in the name of Jesus will work. Because being gathered together in my name is not just being Christians and coming to church together. It's being gathered together in his character. And you know, he has a new name. Jesus has a new name. You know what his new name is? You know, his name was Jehovah and all of that before he came here. Then when he came here, he was given Jehoshua, which is Jesus' salvation. But he now has a new name. You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. He is now high priest. That's new. It became new after his resurrection. He didn't have that before the resurrection. It was after the resurrection. They said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And scepter of thy kingdom, scepter of thy righteousness." You know what his new name is? He's high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Merciful and faithful, ever living to make intercession. So when you now have the new name, you too now begin to make intercession for the saints. So when people irritate you, pray for them. Every irritation is an opportunity for intercession. I'm going to repeat it. Every irritation is an opportunity for intercession. Can you imagine what will happen to you if this one does this, you forgive them. This one does it, you forgive them. You pray in tongues for this one. You know what's going to happen? You start praying without ceasing. Which is exactly what God wants you to do. Then our prayers will be synergized and we will bring down the glory. Mommy, come up. Every time you are stepping up, you are stepping to a higher degree of glory.
one thing to go home with that's been blessing me. I saw it on someone's DP. It says, repeated mistakes is not a mistake, it's a decision. Repeated mistakes is not a mistake, it's a decision. And today, when I was praying, honey, you heard God though. Because I'm sure some of the people who were here, you know what we're praying about today. Then when I was praying today, God said something to me. He said, right doing, repeated right doing is also not right doing, it's choices. The choices we make to will and to do of God's good pleasure is what keeps us that straight and narrow path. John the Baptist, the Bible says, before him, of all men and women born, there was none as great,
no prophet as great
as John the Baptist.
Amazing.
But John the Baptist
cannot be broke.
He missed it. And he said that I might decrease. But he might increase. But he slipped. But he did do wrong. God will have mercy and help us in Jesus.
We're living in perilous times, but be encouraged. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's mercy and grace will see you through. All you need to do is what Mommy Sarah has just said. Remain honest and humble. That's how grace comes and mercy. It's very simple. Just remain honest. But as a matter of choice, if you slip up, quickly go to God. It says a just man and doeth it not. And then the scripture says, you know, a just man falls 7 times, but he rises again. What makes him rise? Mercy and grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Yes, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, for God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor, say, you pray always, oh, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the name, in the character, in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. So your tongues are not tinkling cymbals, but they contain power. So you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow.